always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, and I'm joined there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my good friend, my co-host, and my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How are things going today there in Dallas, Terry?
Pretty good. It's a little cloudy out there, kind of hanging. I don't know what's happening, but here we are.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to waste too much time this morning because we've got some major stuff going on. I'm going to go ahead and put this back up. This is breaking news. Some of it you're going to see on the mainstream media. A lot of it you're not. But the Supreme Court has come out with some major rulings today. And also, we've got information that I have verified that China is indeed working to establish a military base 90 miles from the shores of the United States of America off of Florida to establish a military base that would be occupied and run by the Chinese government. And they would actually be able to have missiles there, some of them of nuclear capacity. And I can't think of anything more devastating than that, but let me tell you this. There is, at this moment, as I speak, no response whatsoever, no information whatsoever being given by the United States government or our president or our military or any agency within the United States government. It's as if they don't know. The world does. China does. Russia does. I do. But the United States government doesn't. Apparently.
I do too. No.
I have no idea what the deal is with that, but it is verified, is what I'm telling you. Now, I'm going to start off with news today, and we're going to begin here in the United States. There's a lot going on, and it's only fair because of the fact that we are a newscast, we are located in the United States, that we do spend time on this. So I'm going to begin with this story, and we're just going to kind of go through them one at a time real quick. And by the way, we will get to Ezekiel chapter 38 as well today. So listen to this.
The Supreme Court ruled Tuesday that state courts can act as a check on their legislatures in redistricting and other issues affecting federal elections, rejecting arguments by North Carolina Republicans that could have transformed contests for Congress and president.
The justices, by a 6-3 vote, upheld a decision by North Carolina's top court that struck down a congressional districting plan as excessively partisan under state law. The High Court did suggest there could be limits on state court efforts to police elections for Congress and president. Davis Richards reporting.
Now, we reported that on Tuesday, Terry, and I told you then I didn't have a good read on it. I hadn't done any research on it whatsoever. But it has become clear to me that this is a bad ruling. Okay, it's just bad. Okay, and my first clue that it was really bad is that it's reported by the New York Times as being a breakthrough to preserve democracy's checks and balances, and shows us that the Supreme Court is turning to the moderate side. All of that stuff raised a red flag above my house about 500 feet. Okay? That's just the way that is. The court ruled that state legislatures do not have unchecked power over elections, and that other government officials can question and overturn their decisions. Chief Justice John Roberts and two other conservatives joined the court's three liberals in this ruling. So, in other words, the state legislature, let's say the state legislature here in Texas passes a law that says you must have an ID to cast a ballot. Okay, let's just say it's just something as simple as that. Well, the court, a court then can step in and say, nope, that's invalid. You can't do that. It's not required. And that has to be the instant change. It has to be made, and there's no exception to it. Okay, now that's just bad law as far as I'm concerned. And so the John Roberts and the other two idiots, and I say that as a citizen of the United States with protected speech under the United States Constitution, those three idiots need to understand what they're talking about before they make an... I started to say a bad word out of themselves. It starts with an A and it ends with an S. Okay, but anyway, just it's a three-letter word. Okay. Anyway, last year now, the Republican lawmakers took the issue to the U.S. Supreme Court. They invoked what is known as the independent state legislature theory. They claimed that the Constitution Elections Clause empowers only state legislatures, not courts, to set rules for congressional electors, including drawing district lines. Common sense, yep, that's the way it should work, but the Supreme Court doesn't think it should work that way. Okay. The other side, made up of Democrat voters and advocacy organizations, argued that the state legislature's election decisions should have many checks. The courts, governors, independent commissions, and other officials empowered by the law. In other words, somebody that we didn't vote for, that has, you know, they don't, they're not accountable to anybody. They've got more power than what the people here in the United States get to vote for. Mm-hmm. All of that, in my opinion, is just bad. You have any comment?
Yeah, this is, I'm trying to remember what the word is. I just, it was a new one. I've never seen it. Digitism or anyway. What it means is control of the world from the government, from the top down. And that's what we're coming into.
Yeah, and that's prophetic.
You know.
That's prophetic stuff that you just said right there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what cheers me up.
Yeah, because, well, it goes into the one world government. Yeah, that's one world government. That's one financial system. All of this stuff is not mentioned by the mainstream media. In fact, they say it doesn't exist, even though the United Nations has put out report after report after report. They even have a 2030 date that they want this to all happen by. You don't believe me? Look it up. Bing it. You'll find it. Okay. Also, Biden today has come out and he admits that he's not big on abortion. He says that terminations in the last 3 months have to be negotiated. So, in other words, he's kind of pulling away from even his own party here, saying, you know, in the last 3 months, I don't think abortions ought to happen in the last 3 months. That ought to be something that's between the mother and their doctor. Okay. But he's not giving them carte blanche the way that he has before. Okay, he said it before, but now he's flip-flopped on that one, okay? The president has claimed for years that his political support for legalized abortion, coupled with his personal disagreement with the practice, is in line with Catholic moral teachings. Last year, Pope Francis was interviewed by Univision and was questioned about Biden's seemingly contradictory beliefs. When asked about Biden's abortion policy, the Pope dismissed the president as incomprehensible. And he said, "I have to leave it to President Biden's conscience and that he speaks to his bishop, his passenger, his pastor, his parish priest about the incoherence." So he's calling Biden incoherent. Well, this is one time I actually agree with the Pope. Okay, moving right along here. The Supreme Court has handed down a religious freedom win to the postal worker who refused to work on Sunday. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with this case or not, but this individual, he was a postal worker. He's like a part-timer. Okay. And so he was able to, the post office he worked in was a small one. And on when they had these Amazon deliveries, this is what this is all about, is Amazon deliveries. When they had those, he finally found another post office that didn't do Amazon deliveries, you know, in his same area, same state, same, you know, but anyway, they didn't do Amazon deliveries on Sunday. So he moved over there to fill in. And then they started doing them. And so they said, well, that's okay, as long as you can find somebody to work your shift. He was able to do that, but he was not able to do it enough, so he missed a lot, and so they fired him, okay? Now, the Supreme Court has unanimously ruled in his favor, this Pennsylvania ruling, for the government worker, the High Court overturned its 1977 precedent that said employers had to reasonably accommodate an employee's religious beliefs and practices so long as it did not create an undue hardship on the business. That's what that was the assertion by the post office. This created an undue hardship on them. Now, this guy lives in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in his favor, making it easier for employees to claim faith-based accommodations in the workplace. It says, I am delighted that the U.S. Supreme Court reaffirmed our nation's commitment to providing equal opportunity and fair treatment in the workplace. This he wrote as an op-ed in Fox News Digital. More than that, the justices affirmed my decision to trust God by honoring the Lord's Day. I'm grateful to all those who have expressed their support, especially my family, community, coworkers, and neighbors. So this is a victory for freedom of religion, and to be able to say, hey, you know what? It's Sunday. I'm going to go to church, and I believe that that is my right as a United States citizen. So I applaud all 9 members of the United States Supreme Court for a correct decision for a change. Terry?
I'm going to have to hold comment because I don't know. I'm just suspicious of this. The one group that's going to get narrowed down to, however the chips fall, is going to be the Christian. So.
Well, how is that negative? I don't understand. They affirmed his ability.
Right now, it's beautiful. Okay. But
what is your concern? I don't understand the concern.
When you say Jesus is the only way that you can go to heaven, and if you don't know Jesus, you're going to go to hell.
Okay.
That's going to start getting people in trouble. So.
Okay, I'm still confused. I'm not following you on that. But we'll move on from it. We'll move on from it.
We don't have to. Yeah.
Okay. Now then, another big decision by the United States Supreme Court came out today.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court has rejected affirmative action. The United States Supreme Court handed down a major ruling on affirmative action 6-3, rejecting the use of race as a factor in college admissions as a violation of the 14th Amendment, Equality Protection Clause. Many universities have argued that race-based admissions ensures that student bodies remain diverse, while critics such as the plaintiffs in the case argue that policy discriminates against many qualified students on the basis of race. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, she's the one that can't figure out how to define what a woman is. Okay, she recused herself in the Harvard portion of this case because she was a member of that board at the time. So she made the right decision on that, stepping away from it. She did, however, join in on the on another portion of the case. That's the reason that they're calling it a 6-3 decision. But one of the arguments here was that there was a guy, his name is Waxman, and I'm still trying to, it's Seth Waxman. He's a Harvard lawyer. And he said that, let me see here. Waxman said that Asian American students regularly receive lower personal scores on their applications than other races. Waxman talked about the justice's questions causing Samuel Alito to get a little frustrated with him. He said, I still haven't heard any explanation for the disparity between the personal scores that are given to Asians. And Waxman, he went on to say it says that the justices asked Waxman why downplaying race is a factor in admissions decisions when, according to Roberts, it must have some impact or at least it wouldn't be included. Waxman admitted that race was decisive for some highly qualified applicants, but just like being an OB player, that's, you know, like a band player, okay? Like an OB player in a year in which Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra needs an OB player. That was his. Trust me, I have no. I see you don't understand it. I don't understand it either. And obviously, neither did the court. because John Roberts said, we did not fight a war about OB players. We did fight a civil war to eliminate racial discrimination. And let me say this. When they say that, you know, we have to have X number of this race or that race in college admissions, that's just wrong. Okay, you either earn it or you don't. Okay, you got to be blind to it. Okay, and if somebody else deserves it, I don't care if you're white, black, purple, orange, whatever. If you're not, you know, if you're not as strong in that as another race, well, I'm sorry. Study more, get better. Okay, but it's kind of like, well, I think the best way to describe this is if you appoint somebody simply on race alone. Okay, if that is your full criteria, then you did what Joe Biden did when he selected Kamala Harris. How's that working out?
Because
we've never had a bigger idiot than Kamala Harris as Vice President of the United States. I say that as a member of the U.S. Press Association, and KRRB stands behind that. She's an idiot. Okay, she is not qualified to be Vice President of the United States.
That's the end of KRRB. No, well, I'm just teasing.
Well, it may be, but KRRB would have a legal case because I'm expressing an opinion as a news person who looks at her record and looks at what she has and has not done. And believe me, there's a lot of has-nots. Okay, she is not qualified to be Vice President of the United States. Okay. That is my personal opinion, but I'm also reporting that as a member of the U.S. Press Association. Okay, Terry.
Now let me jump in on that one. Let me jump in on that one. I want to be counted with you. No, I just want to be counted with you.
Okay. All right. And next, Terry, I'm going to bring you in for your 2 minutes. Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, you are now up, sir.
The Last Christian Charge, Engaging the Sword. P.S., folks, homeschooling works. Anticipating Jesus' shout daily, prepared for battle. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. His compassions fail not, new every morning. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, to become fully alive to Jesus' imminent atomic shout on the day that must be called today, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. Jesus speaking, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Back in the day, a popular piece of advice was, if you can't beat them, join them. The advice was given when an impasse in agreement was reached. The diplomatic effort escalated with the seriousness of the specific issue. It could be between friends, groups, or greater levels of society, thus allowing for a continuance in the face of seeming roadblocks. When no way forward seemed acceptable, one side would give in when the other side appeared in the stronger position. Anyway, Jesus referred to such times of decision, especially if the escalation reached the point of imminent war.
Okay, Terry, I'm going to have to break in on you at that point, and we'll get back to you there in the second half of the show. Now, before we go on any further with news, I still got a lot of news, but before we go on to that, I do want to go ahead and get Ezekiel back up on screen and get us going back into Ezekiel again, because I really believe that things are moving toward this, moving toward the Gog Magog war. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and put this up. We actually looked at this scripture in the last show, Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6. Terry, you want to go ahead and read that one?
Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog in the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah, from the far north, and all its troops, many people are with you.
Okay, now we were talking in the last show about this hooks in the jaw, turn you around. I think we're trying, I think, to understand exactly, turn you around from where? I mean, that's kind of, isn't that kind of where we're going here? Turn you around from where? Because that indicates somebody's moving, does it not? I mean, that indicates that there's movement of some kind going on in order to be turned around from it. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. And the hooks are a real giveaway, that they are not doing this on their own, that they are being forced from doing something that they want to do, going in a direction they want to go. They plan, this is what they're going to do. And suddenly God puts the hooks in, turns them around. He says, no, you're going to do this.
Yeah.
So this is a real eye-opener here.
Okay. So I'm going to play this one real quick, and we'll see if you think this plays into it at all. Listen to this.
The Wagner leader planned to seize two Russian top military officials when he launched a short-lived mutiny on Saturday, the Wall Street Journal reported on Wednesday, citing Western officials.
Yevgeny Prigozhin's plot involved the capture of Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu and top Army General Valery Gerasimov when the pair visited a region along the border of Ukraine, the Wall Street Journal wrote. Russia's Federal Security Service learned of the plot 2 days before it was due to take place, forcing Prigozhin to change his plans at the last minute and launch a march towards Moscow instead. Harry Michaels reporting.
Okay, now, so they're moving, right? And Russia has got to move to kind of back that up. And then I'm going to play you one more. Listen to this one.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking in more detail today at the role played by Alexander Lukashenko, the dictatorial president of Belarus, in defusing last weekend's crisis in Russia. On Tuesday, Lukashenko confirmed the presence of Wagner Group leader Yevgeny Prigozhin on Belarusian soil, part of the agreement the leader in Minsk negotiated that led Prigozhin to withdraw his mercenaries hours after they reached the outskirts of Moscow. FSN's John Beaver monitored the Belarusian leader's comments from our listening post in Helsinki.
He confirmed that Yevgeny Prigozhin is in Belarus. So that really was the sort of highlight from it. Also saying that at the moment, Wagner troops are not in Belarus, but they are likely to be soon, that they will get all the assistance they need from Belarus, but that Russia will be paying for it all. And he was giving more details as well about conversations he had over the weekend to try and sort of broker a peace deal. So he's trying to sort of sell himself as a peace broker in this whole situation and really come out of this looking as good as he can.
Which is in and of itself extraordinary, given that Lukashenko, a close ally of Russian President Vladimir Putin, is under intense Western sanctions himself. But even the US said over the weekend he deserved some credit for brokering an agreement that may have prevented further bloodshed on Russian soil.
Okay, so here you got this Prigozhin, who heads up the Wagner group, appeared to be going toward Russia. I've got information now on specific individuals that he was after. Okay, he wanted to go after very, very specific individuals that are in the line of command in Russia. But until I can get confirmation on these names, I'm not going to give them yet. I hope to be able to do that on the next show. But it's everything that they were talking about in the report that I did say, and it is a credible source that I'm receiving this from. Mm-hmm. Everything appears to be correct, but until I can get it verified, and Terry, you know me, mm-hmm. I'm not going to mm-hmm. say something unless I've got verification, mm-hmm. unless I mm-hmm. can find it credible, I am not mm-hmm. going to report it. So the only thing I can do mm-hmm. is say I've got reports on specific mm-hmm. individuals, but until mm-hmm. I verify those, I'm not going to release it. You have any quick mm-hmm. comments on this? We got like a minute.
Yeah, I just got an insight there with your last statement. Do you know you approach the news in the exact same way I approach the study of the Word of God? I'm not going to say, it's interesting, you know, that you have that perspective, which is really good, and I've got the one I have, which, by the way, is
really
also
good.
Really good.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree with that.
Well, that's neat. I've never seen that piece of the puzzle before.
Yeah. Well, again, we'll hopefully get into it in the next show, and I'll be able to do that. Anyway, we're going to continue talking about this subject and a couple of others in the second half of the show. But we do have to take a quick break, and we just invite everybody to hang around for the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show.
Put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water, then stir it with a shovel, and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids.
In a message by Louis Giglio, referring to the little dash we see between the birth date and the date of death on gravestones, he asks, "What have you done with your dash?" In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we read that the race we run in life, our little dash between birth and death, we run not to receive a temporal prize, but an eternal prize. The words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Every new day is a gift from God, so let's make the most of every day to please the Lord. Let us take every opportunity of our small dash to touch a life with the goodness of God, pray for the sick, share the good news, or help the needy. Make the most of every opportunity because the days we live in are deprived. Make your dash count. Run in such a way as to receive an imperishable prize. God Tracking is making your dash count. I'm Dudley Anderson. Why not email me, dudley@surereality.net. I would love to hear from you.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, "We worked together. We did a good job."
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and I'm joined here by my good friend, my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley, located there in the Dallas area. And Terry, we talked about Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6, and we kind of got... I think we ran out of time. Well, I know we ran out of time talking about it, and me and you kind of talked about it just a little bit in between segments here. But I want to go back to it again because this is something that I think people need to think about. I think I'm being honest when I say neither one of us really has figured out what this means yet, but we both know it's important. Would that be a fair statement? So
absolutely.
So let's look at it one more time here, and we're going to concentrate specifically on verse 4. I will turn you around. Now that's God speaking. Okay, that is God speaking. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and lead you out. So where is he turning them around from? What is the hook in the jaw? He's going to lead them out. In other words, he's behind all this, right? So he's telling them he's going to do it. He's leading them out with all of their, their armies, their horses, their horsemen, all that stuff. So what does that mean to you? I mean, where are they going? Where are they at, Terry? Do you have any idea?
Well, one insight that we're given with the word out, I'm going to lead you out. So in other words, wherever they are turned to and wherever they are going, they're actually involved.
Right.
They're in it.
They're engaged. They're already engaged somewhere.
They're engaged.
Right.
They're engaged. And he says, but I'm going to lead you out. I'm going to take you out of that. Okay. So we've got that piece of the puzzle. So wherever they are, they're involved. They're involved in something. And he says, no. And in order to get them to go where he wants, it says he has to put hooks in their jaw. Because this is not This is heavy duty.
Yeah. So, something that they either have to have or at least think they have to have. Would that be... Would that fall in line with that or what?
Well, I think it's more a case of something elsewhere. And I'm just going to throw this in, Isaiah 17:1. But I'm just using that as an example. I'm not.
Isaiah 17:1. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah. What did I say?
Oh, you just said 17:1. You just said 17:1. I just wanted to go ahead and make it clear. Go ahead. Yeah.
Absolutely. No. Well done. Okay. So the point being, something major happens to have them. They're going in one direction. They're doing something else. They're engaged. They right. are part of it. And now they're being, the hooks are forcing them to come, to be led out of that.
Right.
And to go somewhere else.
So just to kind of follow up, and I'm going with you on this. Okay. Because now I want to make it clear, and Terry will agree with me on this 100%. We're not a prophet. Okay. We're not prophesying something that's happening. We're trying to look at the Bible verse that the Lord has given us to look at and apply it mm-hmm. to what is going on in the world right now. And right now, mm-hmm. Russia is engaged in the Ukraine. Okay. They mm-hmm. are at a war in the Ukraine. Now then, mm-hmm. He mentioned Isaiah 17:1. I agree. Okay, let's think about that one for just a second. Again, not as a prophet, not trying to predict anything, but something that might make sense here is that Damascus is destroyed by whatever means, okay, as is prophesied in Isaiah 17:1. And now Russia sees something, okay, and this would be God showing them something, in my opinion. That's strictly opinion. God showing them something where they say, okay, we've got to move now. Mm-hmm. The hook has been set. We're being pulled in that direction. So we've got to be on the move now south. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whether that.
Okay. I mean, now it doesn't give us a direction of south. We, because of all of the other pieces of the puzzle, certainly that's where our mind goes.
Right.
But the thing is, again, what we want to be careful to do is not to enter into any conclusion that they are doing any thinking at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. God says, I'm going to put hooks in your jaw.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to force
the only reason that I said south is because Israel is south of the Ukraine and Russia. Okay, and if I'm trying to fit that into prophecy, and I'm trying to fit that into the Gog and Magog war, where we know the attack comes from the north of Israel, then my opinion is that whatever happens was going to draw them to the south toward Israel. That's the only reason I mentioned south. Okay, that's the only reason.
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Sure. No, and it's totally legitimate. It's just that if we're going to look at for a moment all the years that I've spent studying, one of the things that it's taught me is to be very careful about stepping forward with something if I don't have all of the pieces that make it work. And because it's so tempting when you read things to say, oh, that's what this means, and you go off in that direction.
Well, that's the reason I said clearly opinion, not prophecy.
Sure.
Opinion.
Absolutely.
And,
we can enjoy ourselves and put these things together and say, well, this is what I see at this point in time, and that's what we are doing. And it's fun, and hopefully it encourages people to get stirred enough to say, you know what, I want to look at that book myself. Mm-hmm. Because if they know Jesus and they open the book, he's going to guide them. He's going to lead them. That's what study and getting to know what everybody's position is, all of these different things. That's why you've got all the different prophecy shows and what are they talking about and, you know, all of that, you know, and it's fun. And, you know,
well, you know, there's a lot of prophecy shows that go over the line, step over the line, in my opinion.
Yes.
That's in my opinion.
And that's what we're trying not to do.
That's exactly what we're trying not to do. I'm trying really, really hard not to do it. And the thing is it's easy to do that. It's easy to look at stuff over there and say, this is exactly what's going to, I can see clearly now, you know, this is what's going to happen. I can't say that. I don't know what God's plan is.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. I can only look at what is going on in the world, then give, look at it and draw my own conclusion and develop my own opinion, but I can't say for sure that's what's going to happen. But it makes it does make sense that if Damascus was destroyed as is prophesied and as will happen, according to Isaiah 17:1, it makes sense that that would stir Russia to do something. It would stir the Arab nations over there to do something, especially if they thought Israel was involved in it. Okay? And here, I'm going to drop in another one that is sort of important here. And this is America and Russia on the same side against Israel. You ready for this? Listen to this one.
The UN Security Council urged Israel and the Palestinians to avoid actions that can further inflame tensions in the volatile West Bank.
The statement was backed by both the United States and Russia in a moment of unity on a divisive issue, reflecting the widespread international concern at the escalating violence, especially by Israeli forces and settlers. The statement followed what UN Mideast envoy Tor Wensland called an alarming spike in violence in the West Bank. Christopher DeMello reporting.
And you notice there's no mention of the fact that the Palestinians are attacking, that they're shooting missiles at Israel, that they're pulling up and blocking cars and jumping out of cars and shooting the driver and the passengers. You know, it's in other words, they don't show the provocation of why Israel is responding to a terrorist attack in Israel. That's not even mentioned in the report. It's just that there's too much violence in around Gaza, and we've got to blame Israel for it. We condemn Israel. Well, those that curse Israel, God curses, and those that bless Israel, God blesses. And right now, and that report was fairly clear. The United States and Russia are on the same side. What have I been saying for the past several months that I think the United States is going to do? Choose the wrong side, right? Well, in my opinion, that's choosing the wrong side. Terry, go ahead.
They're both on the wrong side. And all of this, I have to throw this in because I don't know when I'm going to have the opportunity. Okay. Joel and I did not talk before the show about my presentation. The first part, which I've already done, the second part I'm going to be doing as Joel leads. And Joel is going to understand why I'm saying this when I read it. I did not know what we were going to be talking about today. I was just following God's leading as he impressed me of what I should, the area I should go into. So I just want to do that. So when you're listening, you're going to say, wait a minute, this is a script. They planned this and then they did this. And then, No, it's God planning. When it's this perfect, the hook's in the jaw by God.
So. Yeah. Well, we have talked about this before privately between the two of us that, you know, I don't give Terry a heads up. Honestly, I don't have time to give Terry a heads up. By the time I'm getting a show ready, he's about popping in and we have a couple of seconds to talk to each other and then the show goes. Okay, so we don't have time to discuss this stuff. The exception to that rule is if he's going to talk about something that he feels like is really sensitive, could be really sensitive, could be a situation where some organization somewhere might object to what is being broadcast, he'll tell me about that in advance, you know, and we try to work our way through that one. But other than that, no, I don't know what he's going to say, and he doesn't know what I'm going to bring up during these shows. That's just the way it works, okay? With that, Terry, actually, I want you to go ahead and get ready to do your second half right about now, actually, okay? Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this. The whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, it is now all yours, sir.
The advice was given when an impasse in agreement was reached. The diplomatic effort escalated with the seriousness of the specific issue. It could be between friends, groups, or greater levels of society, thus allowing for a continuance in the face of seeming roadblocks. When no way forward seemed acceptable, one side would give in when the other side appeared in the stronger position anyway. Jesus referred to such times of decision, especially if the escalation reached the point of imminent war. Oh, what king going to make war, Jesus said, against another king, sitting not down first and consulting whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20. Our world is embroiled in war on many levels. The larger the battle, the seeming importance grows. Jesus points to the king battling against another king who sits down first of all and consults with his advisors as to whether he's able with 10,000 to come against him with 20. In this modern age, war has become a business, with mom and pop wranglings all the way up to the earth-shattering brinks of nuclear annihilation, now facing the major players on our world stage. It appears the question to push the button is no longer if, but rather has now repositioned to the more pragmatic decision in any battle, when. Hopefully, the closeness of this decision will give all in accordance pause. Pause to decide if tomorrow has any place in the equation. As the line in the song declares, what a wonderful world. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen. Okay, Terry, couple of things here. You're talking about wars. And yeah. I have gone on the record a couple of times and said that my greatest fear, again, not a prophet, not even a prediction, just a fear, that the United States could be attacked from the east, the west, and the south. Okay. Now, North Korea is active, and they have nuclear weapons, and they have a delivery system for those nuclear weapons that they continue to test. And it's very possible that they could threaten the United States at any time with a nuclear weapon. Russia has more nuclear weapons than any other country in the world, including the United States of America. So that's another front or possibility where the Russians could attack. From the south, Iranian ships are now going through the Panama Canal. We've talked about that. But here's the big one. And this is the reason why today in my title, and I'll put it back up here, China to establish military bases in Cuba. Okay. Well, Cuba's south. I mean, you know, it's southeast, but it's south of the United States of America. Okay. Mm-hmm. This according to VOA News. Okay. And they're out of Washington. Top U.S. lawmakers are calling on the Biden administration to brief Congress on the spy station that China is allegedly building in Cuba. But American analysts fear that China's plans for the America's backyard may go beyond intelligence gathering. If a war over Taiwan was to break out, these analysts warn the Chinese military could operate in Latin America and in the Caribbean to disrupt U.S. military operations or even strike the continental United States. China could use the proximity of Cuba to deploy special operations personnel, disrupt the U.S. military, and attack the U.S. mainland to snap key supply chains supporting U.S. defense if Beijing attacked Taiwan. a war in Asia will be fought on, near, or over the American homeland, perhaps with nuclear weapons. Okay, now that's a big statement to make there. Now, in this article, it also stated that China's People's Liberation Army could deploy anti-ship cruise missiles in Cuba, both to hit U.S. Navy bases in Florida and block the movement of American vessels. China might also put surface-to-air missiles on Cuba, potentially to shoot down planes over the southeast United States. On March the 23rd, U.S. Southern Command Commander Laura Richardson testified before the House Armed Services Committee that she was concerned by the myriad of ways in which the PRC is spreading its malign influence, wielding its economic might, and conducting gray zone activities to expand its military and political access and influence. She said, "I have every reason to believe the PLA is preparing for war. The PLA is not going to allow the U.S. to fight an away game like it fought with Saddam Hussein in Iraq." In other words, they're bringing the battle to the homeland of the United States of America. Any comment, Terry?
Well, when you think of the literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Chinese that have been reported crossing our border, and they're all young men, young military-age men.
Most, 90%.
Most, yeah. That's right, yeah. And, you know, it's, my goodness, you know, I don't know how much plainer the painting on the wall is going to get, but there we are.
Well, again, to go along with this, you have to understand China has always maintained it that Taiwan belongs to China. And they have made it clear that at some point in time that they are going to take Taiwan back. The United States has a one China policy in which we don't want them to do anything, but we have said that we're not going to do anything. Then President Biden said, yeah, we'll aid them militarily. Well, he pulled that back a month ago. He said, no, we won't.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I don't think he was aware of the one China policy. Now, that's personal opinion. I don't think he understood what was going on. I think that's the reason that he gaffed again, just like he gaffed the other day about calling the Russian invasion. He said that they were losing the war in Iraq. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so anyway, I don't think he understood, but he does.
I'm sorry,
now.
I don't mean to laugh. But
well, it's laughable, but in a bad way. So you're right to laugh, but it's because of incompetence at the top.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no other way.
It's nervousness. It's nervousness that comes out. It's like, holy mackerel, what did that guy say?
Right, right. You know, and he does it too much. He just does it too much.
Really
that's
does.
The reason they
he
don't
really
want him
does.
Involved in debates, because they know he's going to screw it up. You know, that's why they hit him in the basement in the last election, because he didn't. You know,
he's going to read the orders. He's going to read the instructions on the card.
Right. Yeah.
Turn to the right and then
exactly.
Say.
Yeah. We've both seen him do that. That's not something that is, not a fact, because that is factual information. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, I have also made it clear that one thing that countries do when they are ready for military action is they do tests. Okay. It's like, They'll fly planes or send ships in a certain direction to see what the reaction is and how long it takes for the other country to react to it, how they respond to it, and all that. And then there's also this thing about if you do something over and over again, you keep testing it, you keep testing it, okay. Well, when that starts to happen, then countries start to lose focus. I mean, when it happens the first time, you're on high alert, right? The second time is still pretty high. But, when you get into the 15th and the 20th and the 100th time of doing things, it's like, oh, well, they're just doing that again, right?
Yeah.
But it's all a test. It's all a test. Listen to this.
Taiwan says two Chinese military aircraft entered its self-declared air defense identification zone early on Thursday morning. Taiwan's defense forces scrambled planes, sent ships, and used missile systems to track a total of 14 Chinese warplanes and four naval vessels spotted in international waters to the southwest of the island. Andrew Wood reports from Hong Kong.
A Chinese anti-submarine warfare plane and a reconnaissance drone entered a buffer zone of airspace where Taiwan says aircraft should identify themselves to its defense forces. Such incidents have become common. It's estimated that Beijing has sent more than 300 warplanes and nearly 150 Navy ships into the waters and skies around Taiwan this month alone. Some have briefly crossed the median line of the Taiwan Straits that delineates the unofficial border between China and Taiwan's territorial waters. Andrew Wood, Hong Kong.
Now, do you think that maybe China might be paying attention to exactly how many ships and planes that Taiwan sends when they do one of these tests, and how long it takes them, how long it takes them to respond to that, and was there more of them? Was there less of them? Was it a faster response? Was it a slower response? You don't think that they're gauging all that? Because I do. I think that they're testing every bit of it. And one of these days, it's not a test anymore. One of these days, it's an attack. And when the attack starts, China is a pretty big country. And they got a pretty strong military, complete with tactical nuclear weapons and everything else. Okay, so I don't know. It makes me nervous. How about you, Terry?
Yeah, it and do you know that Taiwan has been known from its inception when it first came together as a Christian country? It's primarily a Christian country, Taiwan. And a lot of missionaries have gone there. A lot of missionaries from Taiwan have gone across the world doing great work. So that's what you're looking at, a real sore spot in China's backyard. So
all right, let's look at another verse or another set of verses here from Ezekiel chapter number 38. We're going to go to verses 7 through 9, Terry.
Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be visited. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, you and all your troops and many peoples with you.
Okay, now going back to our friend Amir Tesfarte, he believes that Israel is dwelling safely now, that everything that's going on in the world, right? You know, all the reports about the Gaza Strip and, you know, the attacks there, the missile firings, all that, because of the Iron Dome, because of the very few number, he makes a point of this many, many times. He says it's safer in Israel right now for everybody than it is in any major city in the United States, that there are fewer people killed in the entire nation of Israel than there are in a single city in the United States. And you know, and if you look at it, and if you look at it from that lens, he is 100% correct. Okay. So if they're dwelling safely and all this stuff is going on and they have been returned to the land, okay, just like God promised, then there's no reason to think that this attack, this Gog-Magog war or the war that is talked about in Psalm, either one, could happen at any time. Now, unfortunately, we don't have time to get into that today, but we'll do it in the next show. Okay, we will do it in the next show because this is an ongoing situation and we are headed toward this, whether you like it or not. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we urge you to do so because just like there's a last play in every football game, there is a last individual to accept Christ before the rapture of the church. And if you are not a Christian when that happens, then you have got to spend at least a portion of that 7 years of great tribulation. And that's something that you can't avoid simply by asking the Lord for His forgiveness, promising Him that you're going to follow Him all the rest of the days of your life and ask for that forgiveness in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if the Lord does give us another day to broadcast, we'll be back next time. And we hope that you'll join us for the next edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. May God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.